Welcome to Antioch. Thanks for worshiping with us today. My name is Andy O'Rourke, one of the pastors here at Antioch. All right, we are continuing on in a series, if you've been with us all the way back into February, actually. We've been in a series called The Heart of Jesus. But don't worry, you're not missing out if you're here for the first time today, because every week we're looking at a different individual aspect of Jesus' heart. What motivates him? What drives him? We've looked at things like his gentleness, his lowliness to meet us in our brokenness, in our lowliness. We've looked at the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, his joyfulness, what brings him great joy. Last week, we talked about Jesus' love for children and what we learn about childlike faith from that. Today, we're looking at Jesus' heart and how Jesus is a friend. Jesus is our friend, a friend to those who know him personally through faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we're talking about the friendships of Jesus, the friendship of Jesus. Did you know, if you looked at the entire Old Testament, which is a large portion of the Bible, the majority of it is the Old Testament, 39 books, there's only two people in the entire Old Testament that are referred to as a friend of God: Moses and Abraham. Take a look at two verses that refer to Abraham. We'll put those up on the screen as a friend of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" And then in Isaiah 41:8, this is God himself speaking. It says, "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend." Isn't that amazing? So we have Abraham, father of the Jewish people. God chose him. He came all the way from the land of Ur, which is modern-day Iraq, to Israel. God made promises that he would bless Abraham's descendants, and then ultimately through Abraham would come a deliverer, a savior, who we know as Jesus Christ. Now, look at the next person, Moses. Go ahead to the next slide. Exodus 33:11. "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." So we have these two major Old Testament figures, these pillars of the faith, two of the most important people, at least for the Jewish faith in the Old Testament, that are called friends of God. But as you go into the New Testament, as you move to the New Testament, as you move to Jesus and beyond the cross and resurrection, what's amazing is that this privileged position of friendship with God, it gets ratcheted up. It goes to another level, so that every single follower of Jesus Christ is said to enjoy this personal relationship or friendship with Jesus through faith in him as Lord and Savior. We're known eternally as Jesus' friends. He's our friend, we're his friends. We have this mutual friendship, something that didn't happen before, but now every single follower of Jesus enjoys that. We're spending time in the Gospel of John here this morning, looking at a few verses, and the Gospel of John, it starts out with this exalted picture of Jesus Christ, speaking of Jesus as the Word of God. Listen to what it says right at the beginning of John's Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So right away, there's this picture of Jesus as eternal, existing from eternity past, divine, fully divine, the God-man, God the Son who took on human flesh. It's what we celebrate at Christmas time, right? But then also Jesus as the creator. So this exalted view of Jesus Christ. But then we're going to see how Jesus describes himself as our friend. So he's big, he's massive, he's the creator of the universe, but yet he's near. We can know him as our friend. Amazing. What we're going to talk about today is experiencing that loving friendship of Jesus. It empowers us to love one another. Experiencing the loving friendship of Jesus empowers us to love one another. Our main passage is going to be in John 15, verses 12 through 17. So you're welcome to follow along in your Bible or on your electronic device. Otherwise, we'll show the scripture verses that we're going to look at on the screen. John 15, 12 through 17. And this section, we're jumping into the Gospel of John, and this section in chapter 15, it falls within a larger group of chapters, all the way from chapters 13 through 17, referred to usually as the farewell discourse of Jesus. So it's the eve of the crucifixion. It's the night before Jesus was crucified, and there's a lot of teaching that he's giving to his disciples in this farewell discourse the night before the cross. Now, at the beginning of John 15, there's a passage that may be familiar where Jesus describes himself as, using an analogy, as a vine. He's the vine. We are the branches. His followers are the branches that are joined and connected to that vine. His heavenly Father is the vine dresser, and Jesus unpacks this analogy saying basically that we need to depend upon him. We need to abide in him. And abiding just means this vital living relationship that Jesus intends for us to have with him. And the result of that is joy and a life filled with spiritual fruit and answered prayer, this abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, it's right on the heels of this abiding discussion that we come to our passage today in verse 12 through 17, where Jesus commands his disciples to love one another as they experience that loving friendship with him. So if you would look through the New Testament, you would see letters written by someone called the Apostle Paul, many letters. And a lot of times, you know, Paul was a very logical writer. He would unpack a logical argument, and you could follow it point by point. John's writing style, the Apostle John, which we're going to see today, it's a little different because he has more of a cyclical writing style where he repeats things and through repetition hammers home his main point. So Paul would be like this, John would kind of write like this, and we're going to see that as we look at our passage today. Because there's themes within John 15, 12 through 17 that have already come up. Even in chapters 14, chapters 15, in this farewell discourse, it's like, okay, we're hearing a lot of the same things, but that's on purpose because they're important things. All right, things like loving one another, receiving answers to prayer, obeying Jesus' commands. We'll see those again. Well, let's look at our main text, 12 through 17 of John chapter 15. I'll read it for us. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." So you notice right away there's a framing in of this passage, right? In verse 12 and verse 17, he says the same thing. There's a command to love one another. But how to do that and what that looks like, Jesus says, "I want you to love one another as I've loved you." And then the middle of that passage, the burger in the middle of the sandwich, is all about the friendship that we enjoy with Jesus Christ through faith, as a picture of how we are to love one another. So we're going to ask two questions. Here's where we're going this morning. We're going to spend the majority of our time asking, what does friendship with Jesus look like? What does it mean to have Jesus as our friend and to be friends of Jesus through faith in him? And then we're going to ask, what does love for one another look like? But the majority of our time is friendship with Jesus, seeing his heart as our friend. So what does friendship with Jesus look like? Four characteristics that we see here in these verses. Four characteristics of friendship with Jesus. Number one, verse 13. Friendship with Jesus is grounded in his sacrificial death on our behalf. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Now, it wasn't an accident that he's using this language, because the next morning he would be crucified. He's describing himself as the true example of friendship. He's about to lay down his life literally on the cross for his disciples. The love of Jesus is supremely demonstrated through that cross. We see that in Romans 5, verse 8, where it says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the cross makes possible friendship with Jesus. The cross secures friendship with Jesus. Jesus' offering of himself makes it possible to know him as a friend. And if you haven't trusted in faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible actually says you're outside of that friendship. You're an enemy of God, but through faith in Christ, we become friends of God through friendship with Jesus through faith in him. And the cross also demonstrates true friendship. That's what Jesus is getting at. A true friend lays down his life as I am about to do through the cross for your salvation. Let's keep going. The second characteristic of friendship with Jesus. Verse 14, friendship with Jesus is marked by obedience to his commands. Look what he says, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So there's a lot that Jesus has already talked about in this gospel about regarding obedience to him, obedience to his words, obedience to his heavenly Father, obedience to his commands. You could look in chapter 14, and he talks about it several times, even in this same farewell discourse. But there's a wrong way to understand what Jesus is saying here, this conditional statement where he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Here's what he's not saying. He's not saying, you have to earn my friendship, right? You have to earn my friendship by your obedience. The amount that you obey me determines your friendship with me. This is a transactional relationship, a transactional friendship, or a friendship that's based on your performance. And if you're not performing well enough, if you're not obeying enough, well, you're out. You're out of friendship with me. That's not what he's saying. What he's getting at, consider 1 John 2, 3 through 6, which says something very similar. Listen to what it says. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So what Jesus is getting at is that obedience to his words, it shows the authenticity of friendship. Being a friend with him is showed, it's demonstrated, it overflows from our lives and shows that we're genuine friends by our obedience to his commands. We obey because of that friendship. We obey because he loves us, because of what he's done on our behalf, not to earn that love or to earn that friendship. That's what he's getting at. Let's keep going. The third characteristic, what else does it look like for Jesus to be a friend with Jesus? Well, verse 15, friendship with Jesus includes insider access to the Father's will and the Father's purposes. Look at verse 15 again. Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Listen to what one author says. Regarding this verse, it says the change of relationship from servants to friends is significant. The difference does not lie in a change of attitude, but both are expected to obey, but in communication. Whereas servants blindly obey, friends are taken into confidence in this friendship with Jesus. So as we've went through this series, The Heart of Jesus, we've been referring several times to this book by Dane Ortlund, where he dives into a lot of the themes that we've been looking at. It's more of a devotional called Gentle and Lowly. And he has a chapter in here called A Tender Friend, talking about the friendship of Jesus with his followers, with his disciples. And I want to read a section here from this book. It's about a page. He says, consider your own relational circle. Okay, so like concentric circles of relationships in your life. Doubtless, the line of who your friends are could be drawn in varying places. like concentric circles, narrowing into a bullseye. There are some people in your lives whose name we know, but they're really on the periphery of our affections. Others are closer to the middle, perhaps not intimate friends. Continuing to move towards the center, some of us are blessed to have a particularly close friend or two, someone who really knows us and gets us, someone for whom it's simply a mutual delight to be in each other's company. To many of us, God has given a spouse as our closest earthly friend. Even walking through this brief thought experiment, of course, ignites pockets of mental pain. Some of us are forced to acknowledge that we do not have one true friend, someone we could go to with any problem, knowing we would not be turned away. Who in our lives do we feel safe with, really safe, safe enough to open up about everything? Okay, now here's the point. Here is the promise of the gospel and the message of the whole Bible. In Jesus Christ, we're given a friend who will always enjoy rather than refuse our presence. This is a companion whose embrace of us does not strengthen or weaken depending on how clean or unclean, how attractive or revolting, how faithful or fickle we presently are. The friendliness of his heart for us subjectively is as fixed and stable as is the declaration of his justification of us objectively. Won't most of us admit that even with our best friends, we don't feel fully comfortable divulging everything about our lives? We like them, even love them, and go on vacation with them and sing their praises to others, but we don't really, at the deepest heart level, entrust ourselves to them. Even in many of our marriages, we're friends of a sort, but we haven't gotten naked in soul the way we have in body. What if we had a friend at the center of the bullseye of our relationship circle whom you knew would never raise his eyebrows at what you share with him, even the worst parts of you? All other human friendships have a limit to what they can withstand. But what if there were a friend with no limit, no ceiling on what he would put up with and still want to be with you? All the kinds and degrees of friendship meet in Christ. Isn't that good? So what Ortland is saying is that Jesus always has time for us as friends. He already knows everything about us, even the deepest things that we don't want anyone else to know, the things that we're scared to entrust to anybody. Jesus knows those. And as a friend of Jesus, you're in the inner circle. You're in that inner circle of trust forever, eternally. And what Ortland says as well is that other friendships in our lives, they have limits, right? They can become too toxic to continue. But Jesus, in contrast, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's a friend that stays with us in thick and thin. Even when we're terrible friends to him, he's a faithful friend to us. Isn't that amazing? He's a tender friend, eternally. That's the kind of friend Jesus Christ is. And that's his heart for us. That's what drives him. Let's keep going. The fourth characteristic of friendship with Jesus here. Verse 16. Friendship with Jesus results in lasting spiritual fruit and answered prayer. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, this is getting to be further and further in the past for me, but how many of you remember anything about elementary school? All right, a little bit. All right, you know what my favorite class was in elementary school? Recess, when you didn't have to be in class, right? So, and I think back then there was more, I feel like there was longer recess and there were more recesses than there are today. But I can remember as an elementary school kid, I don't know, third grade, fourth grade, you were ready to get outside, you know, with your friends. And I liked to do whatever activity, like athletic-wise, was going on, if it was tag or baseball or football in the playground, whatever it might be. And I just have this picture in my head of, you remember picking teams? Yeah, maybe that was like the worst part of your childhood. Maybe you loved it, but everybody would line up against like the brick wall of the school or against the fence, right? And you needed two captains, so there would be a captain of each team, and then those captains would choose their team, and hopefully you weren't like the last person picked, right? You never want to be the last person picked. But if you had, if one of your friends was the captain, there was like this duty or this expectation that they would pick you first, or at least towards the top, right? Now, think about this. Get this. Somehow, some way, every one of us as Jesus' followers, we were his enthusiastic first pick. Now, in the real world, there only gets to be one first pick, right? But every single follower of Jesus, he's like, he chose you first. You're like the first person that he wants on his team. He chose us. He appointed us. He selected us. He's like, you didn't choose me. Ultimately, I chose you. He saw something in us. Well, undeserving of his friendship, but yet by grace, sheer grace, he chose us to know him. He appointed our lives to be filled with lasting spiritual fruit and to receive answers to prayer offered in his name. That's what it means to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, to trust in him through faith as Lord and Savior. Not everybody enjoys this privilege of friendship, but those who know him personally, that's what he's saying. There's these privileges and this inner access and spiritual fruit, answered prayer. Notice also there's an element of mission here. There's a missional aspect. In other words, he chose us for a purpose. One writer says it this way, the disciples' status as Jesus' friends is not an idle privilege. It carries with it a solemn responsibility and is granted in the context of being sent on mission. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you for a mission, for a purpose. Experiencing the loving friendship of Jesus empowers us to love one another. Now, we've been spending most of our time asking, what does friendship with Jesus look like? But just for a minute, what does love for one another look like? The command at the beginning and the end of this passage. Well, it looks a lot like what the type of friend that Jesus is to us, how we're to love one another. We're to love with sacrificial love, right? Sacrificial love. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus talks about his love as a friend, he talks about taking action, laying down his life, not just an emotion or a feeling, but because he loves, he's going to show and demonstrate that love. That tells us a lot what it looks like to love others, to take action, to sacrificially choose to love. Love as a verb to others. To listen well, to communicate well, to be vulnerable, to let others in, not to hold people at arm's length, especially if we've been hurt or betrayed by friends in the past, but to continue to open ourselves up, to continue to entrust ourselves to one another. And to enjoy this mutual experience of lives centered in Jesus, bearing fruit, marked by prayer. That's what love for one another looks like. And if you look back in chapter 13, Jesus says, in the same command, he says, love one another. And he says something very interesting. The world will know that you are my disciples, that you're my followers by your love for one another. It's a testimony to the watching world that does not follow Jesus, that he's for real. So here's what we see in this text today. Experiencing the loving friendship of Jesus in our lives and loving one another, they're intertwined. They can't be separated. They're bound up together. Our vertical relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing him as our friend through faith in him, and the horizontal relationships we have with one another, they're made possible both through the cross. We know Jesus Christ through faith in what he's done, laying down his life for us on the cross, rising from the dead to give us new life, that vertical relationship. And then that makes it possible to truly love one another out of that friendship with Jesus. Experiencing the loving friendship of Jesus empowers us to love others. Let me leave us with a couple questions here before I pray, and we're going to transition to a time of worship through communion. If you can go to the last slide there. Two questions to ponder. Number one, how are you encouraged today by the truth that Jesus is your friend? Maybe you haven't spent a lot of time thinking about that, but
on the night before Jesus was crucified, he thought that was a really important thing to let his disciples know. He's our friend. How does that encourage you today? And then how are you motivated by that friendship with Jesus to love his other friends, to love those within the family of God, within the church family, and even those that are not yet his friends outside that don't follow him? How does friendship with Jesus encourage you to overflow in love to others? Let me pray for us. Lord, Jesus, thank you that you are our friend. Every single man, woman, and child that knows you in a personal relationship through faith as Lord and Savior, we enjoy this eternal friendship with you. And you're the best type of friend that anyone could ever have. You know everything about us, and yet you don't turn away in disgust. You move closer to us in our lives. You draw us in. Thank you for the type of friend that you are. A loving, compassionate, tender friend in our lives. Lord, encourage us by that and move us through that truth to turn to you, to run to you, to not run away, but to run into your arms of friendship. We pray this in your name. Amen.